your favorite comedian, Anthony Rogers, live in his tour bus. Yeah. But also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking. They said your shit looks whack. It looks weird. They can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now. And the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this. And there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description. Go to the website. Use promo code LEGENDARY. Get a discount. Do it. Thank you. Boom. Smokey's Edibles, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, no corn syrup. Ugh, way better than other edibles in the market. Get them. Eat responsibly, obviously. Like when you watch the show and you're not doing anything, or you're at work or anything like that. That's obvious, but some people have to hear that. Definitely, these are the watermelon. My favorite of the peach. I just grabbed these last night for something different. Sour watermelon sounded cool. I've had them before, but I just wanted a little something different, you know? That's 21 and over. Make sure they're 21 and over. Buy them for yourself. They're amazing. Eat them before the show. Eat them before every episode, like me.
So I'm Dennis with the Anthony Rogers Show podcast. My question for you is, what would you do if you became president to help the working class?
Well, you know, I think the principal thing right now is housing. That the price of housing is going up and it's beyond the reach of most American families.
Along with oil and gas and food.
Yeah. Inflation is hurting everybody. And inflation is more complex. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I'm going to stop inflation overnight. What I can say is that I'm going to stop the long-term cause of inflation. I'm going to unravel a war machine. I'm going to reduce dramatically healthcare costs by ending the chronic disease.
Welcome back to the best show in the entire universe. My name is Anthony Rogers. Thank you for watching. Thank you to the sponsors. We have a good show today, kind of an upbeat thing. After the last couple ones were kind of dark, but I mean, still obviously still good episodes. This one's a good story, kind of one that's going to uplift you, I hope, if you're into good news, you know. Chris Kinnick of Super Cups or Smart Cups. I messed that up. I got your last name and then messed up the company name. That's how great of a host I am, you know.
No, but, you're good. No.
I called it Super Cups, bro. That's so dumb. Yeah, Super Cups. Okay, Smart Cups. Sorry, and I have to admit my mistakes and be accountable.
Yeah, how do you fuck that up? It's even on my shirt.
I was so focused on not messing up your last name that I said your company name wrong. I literally was hyper-focused on the name. I know. I made the flyer. I even researched your company, and I still called it Super Cups. That's so dumb. Smart Cups is the name. A public embarrassment. This is not a humiliation ritual. I actually messed that up. But no, okay. So in good news, this is an awesome, crazy product. So it lowers waste also, like basically is what, like describe, dumb this down for me. I can barely say your company name, so you're going to have to dumb this down for me.
All right. Well, number one, thanks for having me. I appreciate you. Anytime somebody invites me anywhere, I just feel gracious and just, you know, thankful. Because I wouldn't invite me anywhere. And by the way, your opening is fucking amazing. I love it. It's just the whole old school Fox opening. It's just fucking great. It reminded me of like old Simpsons episodes.
That was a live podcast we did. I clipped that from a live podcast we did. But like if you were in St. Louis and people that are interesting were in my area, I'd do it there more often. But it's like I got to do online because everyone's spread out so everywhere, you know, and I feel like I interrupted you. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I just feel like I feel like I'm underdressed in a digital manner because you have such an awesome background. And I just, I feel like I need a green screen. I'm going to whip one up real quick in like 15 minutes and just like green screen myself. So Smart Cups is a technology that I've developed over the last 11 years. That allows the printing of ingredients on surfaces. And so the technology was developed originally to be a drug delivery system for patients who suffer from dysphagia. That's the difficulty swallowing tablets. But we commercialized it in the food and beverage space first for proof of concept, adoption, et cetera. And over the years, we've gotten a lot of different, you know, a lot of different avenues have opened up. And so, excuse me, we launched with an energy drink product and that we currently sell on the internet. And so this packet right here is equivalent to 10, let's say, Red Bulls, Monsters, etc. You open it up and they're stacked like this. Each one of these cups has 125 milligrams of caffeine, amino acids, B vitamins, and they're printed right in the cup. So you just pull one out, you see, and you know, it's printed right there.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, we're viewed as a healthier alternative in the energy drink market because we don't have the sugar and the nasty ingredients that are typically found in energy drinks. And so, you know, amino acids, B vitamins, the sweetener, the flavor profile, add water, 45 to 90 seconds, you have an energy drink, right? But the same can apply to a number of different industries. We have applications in almost every industry imaginable, from pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, food, beverage.
How does the food one work?
Yeah, so food, that's interesting. So we're actually talking to several large companies now about doing soups. And so here's a...
Wow, soups, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so, you know, the benefit for this really is...
You print the soup at the bottom?
Yeah, so they're printed in the bottom. So they're stackable like that, right?
And what? So
each one of these has 10 grams of protein, you know, micronutrients, et cetera. And so this one we actually did, and it's printed right here.
Wow, man, that's amazing. So you put like broth or water, hot broth or hot water on it, basically?
Prototypes. So, you know, these are prototypes that we're working on. And so,
wow, okay. That's so smart.
Actually, I did a thing in December where I brought a carry-on piece of luggage to Minnesota, downtown Minnesota, and handed it with just a carry-on. And I was able to fit over 100 soups and mouthwash cups in this carry-on. And my goal was, hey, how many people can I feed with just a carry-on, right? And with actual nutrition that would benefit them. So just add hot water, boom, you got your soup and off you go. I'm actually going back to Minnesota at the end of this month to hand out hot chocolate with micronutrients. So vitamin C, vitamin D, calcium. And so right there, you can see the hot chocolate printed right in there. So it's not just hot chocolate with the sugar and the chocolate flavor. It's actually, there's a nutritional element to it. And then, you know, some of the other things that we can do that are actually pretty exciting. And I've got, so like people always go, oh, so what's the big deal? Soup, right? But, you know, the benefit to the technology is it's a reduction of storage and transportation requirements. And so UCLA just published a study in September that really highlights the environmental impact and the supply chain logistics impact that our technology has. And so the class 6 or 7 truck that you see daily on the road that just delivers stuff can deliver, you know, 31 times more material or products using SmartCups technology than traditional bottles, cans, et cetera. So think about it, 100,000 units of something versus 3.1 million units of something. So essentially you could get more supplies out to people with less trucks, planes, automobiles on the road, right? And so think of disaster relief efforts, think about humanitarian efforts, think about military efforts. It'll benefit all of that. So we're viewed as a sustainability technology because of our reduction of storage, transportation, and byproduct decrease of carbon emissions. You know, in 2021, we were recognized on Time Magazine's list of 100 best inventions of the year. And then from there, I was invited to be on a new show on Fox called Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars. And so that helped gain, you know, visibility for the technology. And we're now pivoting to the core of our business model, which is, you know, licensing the technology to larger global companies. And so ultimately what you'll see is, you know, so this is mouthwash, right? And so what's the benefit of this? This is the clearest demonstration of the value prop that our technology presents, because there's no liquid and there's no bulky plastic bottle, right? And so this is the equivalent to a 1.5 liter bottle of Listerine, for example. And so paper is made out of recycled material. ignore the plastic pouch because this is just for prototyping, but right here you can see, you know, let me see.
Genius. That's so smart. So you just put water, you just add water to that?
You just add water and you've got your mouthwash right in there. And the
same
thing.
Would NASA be interested in this? Sorry. Would companies like NASA be interested in this?
Yeah. And so I've had some preliminary conversations with some space, you know, space tourism is an actual real thing these days, right? But because our technology has applications in pretty much every sector, you know, cosmetics, industrial materials, et cetera, you know, our goal is not to go into the market with all these different products, but rather to partner with companies and say, okay, you know, this is mouthwash, your brand powered by Smart Cups technology, for example, right? And so we're actually launching a line of pet supplements now in partnership with a global pet product company. And so we're printing the pet supplements inside of doggy and cat bowls, just add water and you have that. So you're killing two birds with one stone with that application. Pet bowls are havens for bacteria. Getting supplements into your pet's mouths is a pain in the ass. So we're killing the two birds with one stone. So it would be right in a pet bowl, printed right in there, add water, they drink it, you know, they got their good stuff. And some of the more interesting stuff that we can do, you know, we've got powdered tequila. So we can.
That's crazy.
Yeah, powdered tequila so that we can make, you know, instant margaritas. So you just add water. This is actually Cabernet.
Wow, that's crazy. You
know? So, you know, so we have a lot of different applications. So we haven't even scratched the surface on what's possible yet with everything that we can do. So 2024 is going to be a pretty exciting time for us. And then 2025, you know, just continue the growth of this. But yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, when I saw the powdered tequila, I immediately thought about putting it in capsules. I was immediately just like, man, if you just capsule tequila, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, but the same way that we can print soups and hot chocolate and nutrients, et cetera, you know, we have the ability to do, you know, antibiotics, for example. We can do vaccinations. Awesome. We can do cancer medications. We can do nutraceuticals. Awesome. We can do cleaning supplies. And so the real benefit there is the reduction of storage and transportation requirements. So, getting more resources to more people. Ultimately, what I'm most passionate about are the humanitarian applications and being able to efficiently provide micronutrients, nutrition to underdeveloped regions around the world. You know, we're working on an egg project that we've worked on for the last 2 years. We haven't found a home for it yet. But I'm hoping that in 2024, 2025, we can find a home for it. And so we take real eggs, print it in a bowl, fortify with micronutrients, and now you have a truly sustainable food product. It doesn't require refrigeration, doesn't require a heating apparatus, has a long shelf life. You just add hot water, scramble it up, and now you got the same texture as scrambled eggs. And so we have a water purification system that we're developing. You just print the water purification inside of the cup. So instead of shipping a case of bottled water overseas or to a disaster area, you could print that same case size with, you know, 500 to 1,000 cups, and they could use their existing water supply, put it in the cup, and now have potable water. So those are some of the bigger picture applications that we'll be developing over the next couple of years. So outside of that, I got three kids and my daughter's riding around a little unicorn thing around here, and I'm a dad first and businessman second, I guess, or third.
No, I can see like I feel like your company's mostly innovation, and the market will dictate what you do almost by the popularity of the consumer product. You know, that's what it seems like to me anyway. Yeah. Like to where like you can, I mean, the mouthwash is genius to me. And then the soup, I mean, they're all very smart, but the soup is smart too, because like, I feel like I would just put a hot broth in there, man. Like I would just like, I mean, that would be, you double your protein off hot broth, man. And like just get some chicken or like beef stock broth or something like that. You have 20 grams of protein just in a tiny soup, man. And I think just off of adding broth, it's already 10 grams. It's great. I mean, But that, I mean, yeah, you're onto something. I mean, you're already doing it, so you're not necessarily onto something. You're literally in the process of something, actually. What first grabbed my attention is how you would feed the homeless, and I loved that immediately. That's what made me reach out to you, your company first, and then they gave me your information after that. I saw those videos you have, and if you guys are on, like, TikTok or Instagram, check out Smart Cups on there and like, see some of the cool videos they're doing, like, just kind of giving people – like food, which is, I mean, very important to me. I'm a Christian, and I think it's very important that that you are doing that. I think that's cool that you're not just like if I was in your situation, I'd be like, man, I need a camo Lambo. I'm gonna lift it. You know, I'm gonna get this, like, lift. If I was a CEO, I'd get a Lambo lifted. You know, but you're like I'm gonna feed the homeless and the poor and like try to help people with my success. And I think that's very important. I think the world needs that. I think that's where the new level CEOs are going. I think they're all. We're out of that 1980s thing, I think. You know, we're in this new, like help these CEOs now. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so you touched on a couple things, you know, a couple different points there that I just want to – number one, material possessions don't really matter to me like they do normal people. Like, I drive a smart car. I don't – you know, cars don't impress me. That's number one. I think, you know, I like cool little gadgets. Like, I've got – over here, I got a proton pack, because who doesn't want a proton pack, right?
What is a proton pack? Dumb that down for me. What is that?
It's a prop from the Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, duh. Okay.
Yeah. So I got a proton pack. So that's where I get my kicks, right? But material possessions, I walk around in flip flops and basketball shorts most of the time. And I think part of that comes from, you know, and so the other part of what you said is CEOs, you know, I don't really think of myself as a CEO. I never had visions of owning my own business. I never had visions of, you know, driving fancy cars or living in big houses or any of that stuff. And I think that comes from how I grew up, where I grew up, and circumstances. I grew up poor. I grew up, you know, back east, low income housing. Both my parents are immigrants. You know, it was just education was the pathway to getting out of perpetual poverty, really. And so I know what it's like to go to sleep at night hungry. And for me, I always thought, you know, I'm a scientist that believes in God. And I believe we're all given gifts. And it's our duty to figure out what those gifts are. And it's our obligation and responsibility to give back using our gifts, right? And when I look back and I go, you know, where I grew up, the kids I hung out with, a lot of them are either living in poverty, dead, in jail, you know, and I go, I got to be here for a certain purpose. And that purpose is larger than just making money. It's not, you know, to make energy drinks. It's to make a difference and to make an impact. And that's what I'm most passionate about. And so, yeah, money's necessary and revenue generation is necessary when you have a company. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the employees paid. But ultimately, if you can parcel a portion of your company to go making a difference and making an impact, great. You know, I believe that everything that I do, it has to further the will of God. And, you know, so even with the powdered alcohol, I'm not so... or the encapsulated alcohol, rather. I'm not interested in making an instant margarita as much as I am interested in using the ethanol and that capability to making a lot of life-saving medications, because ethanol is a major carrier for a number of medications. And so, you know, you got to crawl, walk, run, I guess, a little bit, right? You know, I don't have dreams of becoming a reality TV star. It's a platform to gain visibility, to gain eyeballs. And while I was on the show, I always said to people, you know, I'm here for commercial success, because I know if I get the buy-in, if I can win this thing, I will get commercial success that'll lead into a domino of adoption worldwide.
Yeah, yeah. I think I think the energy drink and the alcohol are great fundraisers for your ideas. You know what I mean? It's like when you're a bartender, like somebody will order something, like, and you may not be drinking it yourself, but that's what you want to sell to the people, and that's what makes a business. You know, I feel like more so, it's like, oh, somebody orders a Jaeger bomb, and I'm like, I don't know if I want a Jaeger bomb, but you know, I'll sell it to you. You know, and then that's what business is. I mean, I think you're in the middle of supply and demand, and I think energy drinks are in high demand, and I think because everybody's like overworked and stuff, you know. I think those are, you created a bunch of products that are in high demand, basically, and I think that will fund your other pursuits. I think it's brilliant, honestly. I really do. So, okay, so to backtrack a little bit, you were on, what was the show called with Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah, so season one of a new show with Gordon called Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars.
So, and then you won that. Oh, excuse me, sorry. And then you won that, and they funded your company, basically?
No, so... You know, I had received a substantial amount of funding prior to being on the show.
Well, not exclusively, but I mean, they added the prize was like
something. Yeah, so the prize was a $250,000 investment from Gordon.
Awesome.
And so it was 15 contestants, each one of them with their own food and beverage company. And they put us into very grueling challenges. I would say that it's probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. Luckily, I was able to make it, you know, grace of God, I was able to make it to the end, and Gordon saw the vision, and he chose me as the winner. So as a prize, we won the prize of $250,000 investment from Gordon. And that helped catapult Smart Cups in the public eye. And so we're pretty excited about what's going to happen and over the next year and subsequent years. The show's called Food Stars. It aired on Fox. It streams on Hulu now. And so if you want to catch it, you know, just skip to episode 10. That's the finale. You can just watch that one and it'll be good.
after meeting you, I probably will check out the show, to be honest with you. I know I should have like in homework prior. I'm just like, I definitely will check it out for meeting you. Like, it's funny when I sent out the promo this morning, like I do day of promo for these shows. And like a lot of people thought I was having Gordon Ramsay on the show because he was in the cover photo with you. And like, and they're like, oh my God, you're having Gordon Ramsay on here. I'm like, no, but even cooler. This product, I was like, I love the product you had and stuff like that. And I love what you guys are doing. Like, to be honest, I think, if imagine if Pepsi's commercial was, I mean, bad example because sugar water is poison, but imagine like Pepsi's commercial was just like giving the homeless people drinks and stuff like that. I think that is such amazing like marketing, and also it does something. It's not just you're throwing marketing money away, you're actually like helping people, and I think that's great. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, and it encourages other people to do it too, because when you go viral doing that, you're showing kids and like 20-year-olds that goes viral, that you don't have to be evil or negative to go viral. And a lot of people think that. A lot of people think like, oh, negativity sells, because I mean, they want you to think that, so you make the world worse. But I think like you, that's a powerful move, because like I think 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds trying to establish fan bases will now see that they can be good people and establish a fan base. They don't have to be a terrible, rotten person and be of the world. You know, they can actually like do something good and help people. And I think Mr. Beast went viral like that too originally. So, I mean, I think and he's one of the biggest stars on the planet. So I think, I think there's a lot of good in that. I mean, I think good is always more powerful than evil. It's just like people don't know that.
Yeah. And I'm a big believer in that. And you know, you said something there, like, you know, about marketing, and it's a great marketing move. But for us, it's not really a marketing move. For us, it's the core of what the purpose of this technology is. But because it's a new technology, it's very difficult for people to wrap their heads around it. And so technology like this only ever used to exist in Star Trek, Back to the Future, the Jetsons, right? And so now here it is. And so people have a difficult, and so you have a lot of internet trolls that have come on and say negative things because they don't truly get it. But the core purpose of it is to provide nutrition in an efficient and sustainable manner to make an impact in people's lives. And so I don't, you know, when we do a video handing out food to people, it's not a marketing gimmick. It's to the core of why we do what we do, right? And
I don't think it's exclusively a marketing tactic, but I do think it markets your business. But I don't think you're doing it just for the clicks, though. Like I don't mean it by that. I don't mean you're just doing it for marketing. But I think it is under that umbrella because it does multiple things. I think it does get your company name out, but it's not just that. You know what I mean? And sorry to interrupt, but I think it's brilliant, and I don't think it's like this selfish, like I don't think it's just a selfish move to just push a product. I wanted to reiterate. I didn't just think it was marketing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I do think it falls under the umbrella, and I think it's brilliant. I think it's inspiring, honestly. I mean, that's what made me reach out. I mean, I think so. I mean,
you know, if we can inspire one person, two people, then we're winning, right? I just started an Instagram account, and I realized that there's the Smart Cup side, and there's the stuff that. But I was a stand-up comic too for a number of years. I know you're a stand-up comic, right?
I try to be.
I have a sense of humor. So I do funny videos with my kids. I let my big son, I've got a 15-year-old that's 6'3", 300 pounds, and he's a freshman in high school, plays football, right? Mm-hmm. And so I let him tackle me when we're at a Dick's Sporting Goods, and we post that on the internet. So, you know, if you want to check it out, it's CEO Dad Life, and, you know, there are all sorts of videos like that. But then there's a serious component of it. But, you know, you show the fun side. And, you know, I've had all these like social media people come to me and say, hey, you got to do it this way, or the algorithm reads this, or do this, and you got to do that. And I just sit back. I finally said, fuck it. I'm not adhering to any of these rules. And then it dawned on me. I go, shit, I'm just an artist at the end of the day. I'm just going to make what I make for me. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't like it, you can go fuck off and enjoy your life. Right. So that's the way I see it. I see everything like that. So.
No, I agree. And I think that, I think the best CEO, I mean, comedy is almost training camp for CEO. Cause I mean, you have to be a public speaker, all these things. Like, I mean, like comedy is almost the best preparation you could have to be a public speaker, I think. And then I think like the best CEOs are artists, basically, in my opinion. They're not just like in the '80s, it was all just like these guys that just like got coked out in suits and stuff. You know, that's what it seemed like. Like, oh, I just need more money. Like, let's sell the planet for more money, you know? But I think now it's like, I mean, you almost have to be an artist to exist in this world of business now. It's a different world. And I think guys like you are successful for a reason because that's what works. You know, I think that, you seem like you're here to change the world, not to make money, but you're going to make money while you change the world, which is smart also, you know? You can't just be poor and change the world. I mean, and that's the problem. If you could be completely poor and change the world, you wouldn't be running a company. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But you need the money to run the world, but you can't be blinded by it. You can't be just, that can't be your only goal, or you'll just get wrapped up in the soullessness of the world, you know?
If your only goal is to make money, you'll make money, but you will go through a very miserable process doing that. And it'll be very empty. Now there's a bunch of rich guys who will look at me and say you're full of shit, and that's what poor people say and shit. You know, but they each their own. But for me, if my goal was to make money, I would have been very, very wealthy in my early 20s. You know, I just wasn't interested. That's not what drove me. What drives me is the ability to do something that nobody else has ever done, and so
I can tell. I could tell. I can kind of vibe you a little bit. And I could tell it's not just about the money. Well, I mean, it would be okay if it is. I mean, a lot of businesses are like that. I'm not knocking them. But I'm saying I could tell it's about more than that for you. I could tell that, like, you don't look at it all surface level. Because I only have a surface level observation of your company. Because I'm not involved in it. I just seen online and I read about it. You know what I mean? So I have, like, a surface level thing. And I like that, like, you're more passionate about it than, like, and I could tell your passion supersedes just wealth and whatever else. And putting a price tag on the planet, you know, I could tell it supersedes that, and I could tell you're authentic in trying to help people, not just trying to get clicks. And you mean, it's like some people are just like, oh, look at what a good person I am, giving a sandwich to somebody. You're inspiring people to do that, and I could tell the energy's different. That's what I'm trying to say. I can just tell the energy's different, bro.
I appreciate you saying that. Like, my concern going into doing like online videos where we're handing out, you know, smart cups to you know, underprivileged or to the homeless. My concern was, you know, would people turn around and say, oh, you're doing this, or you're exploiting, or you're just doing that for, you know, furtherment of your company. No, you know, I gave nutrition to 100 people when I did that video, right? When I go do another video, I'm going to be handing out nutrients, micronutrients that are tasty to people who, you know, don't have food. And the plus side is it will reach a bunch of people. So people watching it go, shit, I get what the technology is capable of. Shit, this has an application here. And my goal is that somebody sees it and somebody goes, I have a great application for that. And it's something that I never thought of, that's something that our team never thought of, that comes to fruition, that has a positive impact. You know, that's the benefit of the internet. Outside of that, the internet ruins society.
No, it really did, man. It really did ruin. It definitely ruined the planet, man. But it's good that people like you can find good use of it. That's like, that's good. And I believe a lot of people in business will try, like a lot of evil men will try to pretend they're good men. And what I'm trying to say is I believe that you actually are a good man. And I believe that, yeah, that you're actually trying to do something, and you are, I mean, you're succeeding in it. You're not just trying. I mean, you're in the middle, like, and I hate saying trying, because that means you're starting out. I mean, you're in the middle of doing it.
We're always trying. We're always trying. Fair. That's it. I mean, yeah, it's in commerce and everything. We're still trying. You know, science is R&D. You know, when people come to me and they say, hey, can you make this tomorrow? I go, that's not how this shit fucking works, man. Like, you gotta, you know, it takes time. Innovation takes time. I've been at this for 11 years. There's no blueprint for this. There was no manufacturing equipment for this stuff. We had to take a phased approach. You know, I've been electrocuted over the last 5 years, I don't know, maybe 6 times, just plugging equipment in. Wow. We built all our manufacturing equipment from scratch. We started with very small machines. We had limited production capacity. We just installed a year ago our fully automated production line, and that'll allow us to scale. You know, and now we're looking at, you know, a bigger facility, and a bigger facility, you know, that takes time to put together, you know, with more capacity, more scale up. So we're always trying, you know. Fair enough. I don't, when you feel free to keep saying I'm trying, you know, because we're always trying. You know, you have a podcast, you're doing the podcast, but you're always trying to make that podcast more efficient, better, optimize it, right? And so it's that pursuit of excellence. Will we ever achieve that excellence? Probably not. Most likely not. I can definitely tell you no. Right? You want to go down the slippery slope?
I think we lazily achieve it, but we're overachievers, so we always want more. So I feel like you already achieved it, and so have I, but we just always want more, you know? It's like it's never enough almost, you know? You seem ambitious, like, you mean, for the ambitious, it's never enough, man. You could have everything you dreamed of, and you'd still find a new thing to want, you know. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, if you're, yeah, like, yeah, me, I feel like it's mostly that, because you're literally, I mean, your company's doing it, man. I mean, it's not like some little kid dream you just drew on a piece of paper. You're like, one day I'm gonna have a company that does. You're like, you have the company. You know what I mean? And same with the podcast. Like, I have the, like, it's like we're just gonna want more. Like, this is, I feel like right now, like, even talking to a guy like you that's doing what you're doing, and being able to get an answer from a company like you guys, like that at 19, 20, something like that, I would have begged for that, bro. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And now I'm, yeah, just like, now I'm like, okay, this is awesome. But I'm like doing this once every day now. It's crazy, you know?
Well, that also comes down to the urge to want more. It's from within, and you're either born with it or you're not. I don't think that you can develop this desire for more, right? And that comes in, I know what I'm capable of. I know what my team is capable of. So I have expectations that I can do more than most other people. And if I have that capacity, then I should be doing it. Because if not, I'm wasting a skill and a talent. Because not everybody has that capacity to go achieve more. And so, I think it's an obligation almost. It's a responsibility. I don't think everybody's born with it. And I'm never going to be satisfied. Actually, on the TV show, I know you haven't seen it, but on the TV show, Gordon Ramsay flat out asked me in the final episode, he's like, are you proud of yourself? And that question took me by surprise. And my response was, no, I'm not going to be proud of myself until I win this competition and I get product. You and I get product on shelves. And that was the truth of it, you know. But even after that, I'm thinking in my head, even after that, it's going to be, how do we grow it? How do we make it bigger? What do we do next? I always tell people, like, I'm so exhausted doing this, you know, because it's not easy. There's no blueprint. We've done everything from scratch. It's exhausting. I've got three kids. You know, how many more years do I have where I can hold and wear the hats of, you know, 30, 40 different people, right? And so I go, yeah, simpler life, retirement. All my buddies tell me I'm not the type of guy who's ever going to go to retirement. I'm always going to be doing something, you know? So.
Yeah, those are always the guys that do it. They did like a study on like leaders and people that are successful and stuff like that. And it's always like one of the things you said was like, I forgot exactly how you phrased it, but you were just saying like you always knew you could do it or something like that. And I think that confidence of like, I think that's what separates people in a lot of ways from the American dream and not having it. Like there's a bunch of people that complain about people that have the American dream. There's a bunch of people that chase it. I think that's what's currently happening in the country right now. And it's very easy to throw mud at people that are winning and being and doing it. And it's very difficult to be on the chase and like constantly want to better yourself and the sacrifice you must have had to have a successful company that you built from the ground up. People don't understand. And I imagine that, I mean, it's a very similar, I mean, I mean, this is technically a company, but it's way different. You have a product, but I'm just saying like, the amount of sacrifice it takes to be successful and chase the American dream is one of the most under talked about things in business. I think, you know what I mean? You have like the guy trying to sell books talking about it, but you don't have the everyday guy doing it. There's always a guy trying to sell books, like, oh, I was born in a box and now I'm in a mansion, and like, oh, you can do it too, you know, just buy my book, you know. There's always like that guy, but you don't have like the everyday story of like, and you have that quality that I think they were studying people that are successful, and I think that's what it is. You have to believe in yourself before you do anything, really. If you don't believe in yourself, no, who else is gonna believe in you? You know.
No, I've been told that I'm crazy and out of my mind my entire life. And I finally got into a point, it used to bother me, but I finally got to a point where if people aren't telling me that I'm crazy, then I'm not doing the right thing. You know, if people aren't telling me it's impossible, then I'm not on the right path. When people tell me that can't happen, you're fucking crazy, you're out of your mind, that's when I know I'm moving down the right path.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I think you're on a good thing. And if you're watching at home or you're listening later, or whatever you're doing, smartcups.com, just a reminder, just kind of get a briefing on the technology and stuff like that. And it's kind of, I mean, I know this, it sounds kind of infomercially like me saying this, but I actually think it's a cool thing. And I think that like, it's, and I'm not being paid to say this, so you know, also, I always feel like when I talk to a company, it's like an infomercial. I want to reiterate and be honest with that. And I'm not, there's not, I just thought this was a cool product and and reached out. And I think like, if you watch the reels and stuff and you kind of just like look at their social media, you can kind of get an idea of what kind of company they are. And it's a great idea. I mean, the CEO of the company came here to talk on a cell phone podcast. I mean, that's rare. That's so rare. And I feel like I'm talking about you, not to you for a second, to the people, but I'm saying like, it is very rare that a business owner will personally come to a show like this. It's not on television or whatever terminology. But and come here and like kind of like and vouch for the company. I think that's big too, man. I think that's very personable of you, and I think that like I think that's huge, man. And I think like this technology is big. I mean, this is like when I saw this, like you said, Jetsons and stuff. It is of the future, man. It is like, it is literally something that can solve a lot of problems, and I think that's huge, man.
Yeah. No. I mean. I appreciate you. Number one, I appreciate you even inviting me on here. No opportunity to speak about the technology is too small or out of my, you know, nothing's too big for me. You know, like when Smart Cups needs a toilet paper changed, you know, I'm the guy who fucking does it most times. So, you know, and I love just having conversations with people and learning about what they do and et cetera. And you know, so I appreciate it. Sorry, I was distracted a little bit there because my son's at a baseball game right now and he just hit a bomb. And so my wife just texted me that. But
that's definitely more important than a bearded fat man talking to you about your company. No, I definitely think, I'm being honest, family is. And I'm not.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying congrats on that. No, family's way more important than business and way more important. And I'm just being honest. I'm not guilting you into it. I'm being honest.
No, I'm just.
I'm just saying that's important. I think that's awesome. I think that I think kids need strong fathers, and I think the numbers are down like 80% right now in America of like people without like in families without fathers. So I definitely think that's important.
It is important. And so I've got two boys and a daughter, and the little ones are over here, in the background. But no, having a strong father figure is very important in today's society. I think
it's rare.
And it is rare.
Sadly, it's rare.
We're so distracted by a lot of other things. So even though, you know, I'm a father and I'm a husband before I am a businessman. And so, you know, you're talking about making money. Diapers ain't cheap at the end of the day. So you got to make money to pay for the bills, right? Everything else is just a cherry on top. But really, you can't take anything with you when you die, except, I want to be buried with my action figures, with my wrestling action figures. You know, you were talking about material possessions and Ferraris and stuff. The only thing I do own of value, not that I idolize it or anyway, but old school wrestling figures. And my brother has a wrestling toy company called Major Bendy's. Yeah. So like I have them all lined up in my office. Like if you walk in my office at Smart Cups, it just looks like a comic book shop. So I take back. So I was just thinking about that. I love little wrestling action figures. So check them out. If you want, I'll send you. I'll have my brother send you some Major Bendies. They're fucking awesome.
Definitely doubt that. I literally, it's funny. You brought me back to my childhood with that. Cause that was one of the few things I collected as a child. I loved wrestling. Like I grew up in like the Attitude Era, like WWF at the time, and like Stone Cold, all those guys. I love that stuff, man. I was a huge fan of wrestling. I definitely. That's funny because my brother
will send me pictures of some of the wrestling toys that before anybody else knows that they're even going to come out. I'll tell you, some of the shit that I've seen in the last like couple weeks is just awesome, and like. He just released like a 2-pack of LJN, you know, the WWF LJN figures that were like the big rubber. So yeah. His line is called Big Rubber Guys. And he released a 2-pack of Demolition, and it was so cool. I was like, when am I getting mine? And it's there. It's in my office. It's right there. So
you want to work out a deal with your brother to get my own action figure, bro. As soon as you said that, I'm like, man, I want to sell my own action figure now. Like that's
he can make an action figure of you. He actually just signed Kevin Smith, and he's going to be making all the like Jay and Silent Bob, and you know all those kind of toys. And so I grew up. I mean, watching Clerks when I was a kid is what made me want to like go into entertainment, you know, and be like a stand-up comic and all that other stuff. So you know.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy meeting the people that inspired you, man. One of my co-hosts, I think he co-hosted for like 9 months, was like one of the singers of my favorite band as a kid, man. It's like, I mean, it's crazy how far your dreams can take you. And then it's definitely weird, man. That's awesome to hear. I like all that, man. And definitely off the record, I'd like to talk about the action figure idea with your brother. I don't want to waste an entire podcast off that and become selfish when we're talking about such a
thing. My brother, yeah, you should make after this, I'll get you his contact.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody can have a little Anthony Rogers action figure, Major Bendy. So,
and it's funny. I definitely will take you up on that and talk to him. But no, it's funny you talk about materialism too. And I make a lot of jokes about it, getting a Lambo and stuff like that. But like, I ride an e-bike also. You said you have a smart car. I ride an e-bike, and like, I don't even use gasoline. I've got rid of most of. I still have lithium ion batteries everywhere, which I don't like. I don't necessarily like that. I don't like how they're developed. You know what I mean? But they are cleaner to the air, at least. Just not.
Oh,
I mean,
man. You are one of those off the grid guys.
Yeah. Just society doesn't have much to offer me, man. It really doesn't anymore.
I'm pissed off at myself, man. I didn't pick up on that when I saw your beard. I'm like really pissed off.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yes. I looked the part, right? Yeah. No, I looked the part. No, I mean, I just society has little to offer me these days, man. To be honest, outside of like gyms and restaurants, you know, that's about all it has to offer me.
I got a question for you. Are you one of these big conspiracy theorist type guys?
I mean, do I say true things and people call them conspiracies? Yeah, probably.
That's the sign of a true conspiracy theorist. I see, because I love conspiracy theories as much as everybody else. But when you go into the world and you see how the top levels operate, you have a different understanding of all this stuff, right? And that's why, like, I don't really watch the news. When you watch something on the news and you were close to it, and then you see how they report on it, and you go, no, that's not how it happened at all. And so my favorite people on the planet, I'm a scientist. My favorite people to talk to are flat earthers. And the reason is
my brother-in-law's like that. Like, he's more to that than I am. And they could be right. I don't know, but I just doubt it, you know?
No, but it's not even, so there's the flat earth population. Okay. So you have this sample pool of the population, right? There are people who truly believe in it, but then there's the portion of that pool that are supporting it more for the sake of proving that we should be questioning everything, right?
I agree with that.
And not just accepting things that have come to me. And so when I take a step back, and theoretically, when you know about gravity and orbits and blah, 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 and all that good stuff, right? And I'm not going to turn into like Neil Tyson here and try to like justify it. But from a scientific standpoint, yeah, it makes sense, right? But then I look at myself. Have I ever been to outer space? No. I base it off of the knowledge that I'm provided. And therefore, I should be questioning it because I have not been to space. Nor do I really have. And I'm not saying the Earth is flat. Don't put that shit in my mouth. But I'm just saying we shouldn't always just accept what's given to us at face value and just go, okay, yeah, and go along with it. You know? So from that perspective, I can appreciate the flat earthers from that perspective.
Yeah, I definitely think you should question everything. I agree. I think it's better to say you don't know sometimes, you know, and that's how I feel about the Earth. I literally have no idea what this is. You know, I have opinions, but I mean, I don't know what's going on. You know, I mean,
I have a question, but we're having a conversation. I think I'm interviewing you now, but my question to you is, what is the, you said you say truths and then people say, you know, you're crazy or whatever. What is the one truth that is very controversial?
Well, what's funny is, I'm weird to say this because of YouTube, to be honest with you, but I will. I basically think all the billionaires are trying to kill us. I think they're trying to sterilize the population and kill us all. I think they're doing it in several different ways. I think abortion's one of them. I think vaccine's another one. I think several different ways. And I don't mean polio vaccine. I mean like the fake one. But I'm just saying. You know, I mean, I'm just saying like the technology. I mean, dude, like I've had Pfizer people on. I've had Pfizer whistleblowers talking about it. I've had all these different other people talk. I mean, dude, the evidence of this is stacking up so high. If you Google most billionaires outside of Warren Buffett, Warren Buffett hasn't said this publicly that I found. If you Google a billionaire's name and depopulation, they have all said they want to depopulate the planet. Like Ted Turner, Bill Gates, like any of these guys.
And I think my question to you, and I'm not saying you're right or wrong, because no one's invited me to the billionaire Let's Kill the World meeting. I haven't received an invite to that. That it hasn't come through my inbox. It's not on my Google calendar. But to what end? And I ask you this because, you know, forever, I've gone on the internet and I've watched, you know, people say like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, they're all lizard people from outer space.
I've had the guy that started that on my show. David Icke started that. I had him on my show. Yeah, no, it's yeah.
All right, I got a bone to pick with David Icke because for years you just laugh about it and you're like, yeah, they're lizard people, right? Mm. And then I see people on the internet saying that shit about me.
Nah.
And I'm like, I looked at my wife. I'm reading the first time that the comment came up, and I looked at my wife and I said, I read it to her, and she was like, "That's terrible." And I go, "Are you out of your fucking mind? This is great. I've made it. I'm in the same lizard alien category with Bezos and Musk and Gates. This is fucking awesome." But then
I talked to David Icke about that. I brought that up. I go, in 2001. You were nuts to me. You were absolutely batshit nuts to me. And then the more I do homework, the more that things you said are real. I go, but the one thing that hasn't come true yet to me is the shape-shifting reptilians. And could you elaborate on that? And he sidestepped that question so hard. And I'm like, because, man, that's the guy that popularized it, at least to me, in like the movie They Live and stuff with John Carpenter made. And like certain things like that. I mean, it almost makes you wonder because of how on track these guys have been. How I describe the depopulation thing is basically like, okay, to an atheist, the gospel sounds insane, or like Harry Potter, until you understand it, until you look into it, until you understand that Christ died for our sins, one of the most well-documented people of all time, 300 prophecies fulfilled on this man. I mean, how much evidence there is of it. And then I feel the same way about depopulation. I feel like what happened was that Epstein bust happened a little too early. I think they're planning a bunch of crazy stuff, and that Epstein bust happened. They're like, oh no, we got to keep our imaginary water rock power, you know? And I think they've been pushing it. I mean, look at our food supply. Our food supply is poison. The water's poison. And chemtrails sound like a conspiracy. When you Google that they admitted that now. So they're poisoning the atmosphere. They're doing everything they can to kill us.
To what end? To what end?
The goal is to reduce the world's population so it's easier to control. For them. Okay. They think we're all just idiots. They think we're all idiots. And we're all...
Well, for the most part, I could say. You know, but the reason I brought the lizard person thing out is because I'm not a lizard person. And so I think about it and I go, wait a second. Now I'm in the same category as a lizard person from outer space. And I started taking a step back and I was like, I wonder how the other people, like when they first heard it, were their feelings hurt? You know, I start thinking about that. And then I go, wait, it doesn't even make sense to some degree. Let's say I'm a lizard alien. I traveled light years with advanced technology on my lizard alien planet. I got some hot lizard bitch. She's fucking gorgeous. And I just hop in a plane to come to this fucking planet to sell printed fucking cups. You know, I had a good thing on my lizard planet. You know, why? To what
end? The only difference between the lizard theory, and it's funny, I had Jim Brewer on here too from like Half Baked, and he talked about how he didn't want to be in pictures covering one of his eye. And he's like, I can't have any pictures like this, or I think I'm one of them. The difference between the lizard person thing and the depopulation theory is like the depopulation thing is like everybody's admitting it. Like even they're literally just being like, we could use these things. We can use certain aspects to depopulate the world. They're blatantly admitting it. Whereas like the lizard thing, I wouldn't rule anything out and how crazy this world is. But I mean, I would lean towards their demons rather than aliens. But if it even exists. But the thing is like, I think, I would, like I said, it's the same as flat earth. It's like, I'd rather say I don't know than take a side because I don't know. I don't know if they've infiltrated, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just, at the end of the day, I don't know. And crazier things have happened. The craziest thing you think about is thinking you know everything and thinking you know the answer. And I'm sure you know you're not a lizard. I get that aspect. But I'm just saying like, there's so many things. This world's mad. And there's so many things happening that like, we don't know about, and we're in this weird conditioning thing. We're like just staring at TikTok all day. We're all just kind of like very surface people, as much as we try to be deep or whatever. And we're probably just lied to be consumer cattle, to be honest. You know, we're just supposed to buy things. You know.
Well, yeah, we're supposed to buy things. I was never really into conspicuous consumption.
Not either. But I think most that's what's bought and sold. That's where all the money.
It's a cycling of money, you know, just to keep the wheels churning, right? Mm. Like now, I can't imagine like being a kid and going, I need $1,000 phone, you know, and I need $1,000 phone to live the new one every 2 years or something. It's just one more expense that we've added on to our lives. You know, food, shelter, you know, those were the major ones, right? Food and shelter. If you had money for food and shelter, you're fucking great, right? Now you need a phone to exist. Everything's on a phone. Everything is going. That's another expense. You think about all the extras that we've developed over the years. It's just another expense. And, you know, yeah, I could go make the next gadget that's going to make me $1 billion, or I can just try to make what we need. And the essentials are food and shelter. And I'm working on food.
I definitely think it's like a hamster wheel.
Convergence and trying to minimize the number of extra expenses. You know, take something that we definitely need right now and make it more efficient. Let's not add to the necessities of our life. The things that, you know, we feel we're forced to believe that through marketing that we need to have, right? So.
No, it's weird. Like, we basically, like, with our phone, we basically pay for our own surveillance and our own, like, lack of freedom. I mean, we basically have cameras and microphones and a GPS on here. And, like, I think that, I mean, we look at that 23andMe thing. We basically pay to give our DNA to companies, bro. I mean, it's like insane, like how they have us tricked. I mean, and we've lost sight of like the most important things in life. I mean, there's no family structure, there's no loyalty in people. I mean, there's very little family structure and very little loyalty in people. And like everybody's goal is to be rich or something and be famous or something. And I fell for it too in a lot of ways, you know. And I think that I don't know, you have to almost find, you almost have to get there to realize how cheap it is, though. You have to have the things they tell you. I mean, when I was told to move to, like, TV's like, move to California, there's beaches, you know, and I did that thing and I didn't like that, you know. It's like you almost have to, like, I don't know how to describe it. You have to, I don't know, and something, it's right for some people. I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just saying for my personal journey it wasn't, but I'm saying, like, man, yeah, it's just like, but there's a lot more good in the world if you focus on that. There's a lot more good and a lot more. And through gratitude, we can see that
I think, you know, with all this need for material possessions, you know, there's this, you know, self-preservation is, you know, you go to a lack of loyalty in people or, you know, their own agendas. Right. And so when you're forced to believe that you need all these material possessions and it's ingrained with all this, you know, messaging that we're exposed to on a day-to-day basis, you know, self-preservation, it's, you're going to one up other people, right? That's it. That's the thing. Cause you want to advance, yourself and you want to get, you know, so that you can get the next big thing.
But at what expense? It's like, you don't want to gain the world and lose your soul. Like the whole thing like that, you know. It's like, I definitely am very competitive and maybe I did when I was young, maybe in my 20s, I was more like apt to like, just like do whatever necessary. But I feel like, I mean, you got to get out with your soul, man. You got to get out with the people around. It's like, I'm definitely competitive, but I'm not going to screw everybody over to win type of competitive, you know? And I think that's what's important, the important lessons. It's definitely okay to be innovative and it's definitely okay to be competitive. And it's definitely okay to want more. It's just like, you just can't, I mean,
It's competition with a moral compass and ethics, right?
And that's important.
That's the healthy part. You know, as long as you have a moral compass, you will be successful. I think that saying, nice guys finish last, I don't think that's – no, I don't think so. I think that's nice guys finish first.
Yeah, that's a weird excuse. No, it's a weird excuse. I mean, because like without morals, I mean, it'd just be mob rule, man. I mean, the mob just went in, shot everybody up and stole their stuff. I mean, that's not hard to do. I mean, it's probably hard to get away with in a digital age, but it's not necessarily hard to be a bully and just like take everybody's stuff and just like, I mean, that's the easiest way to gain wealth ever, you know? I mean, just kings do that forever. They got 20,000 guys. Like, go invade that guy's castle. I want his throne too, you know?
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a mobster, met one, one depicted in a movie that has ever left this world in a pleasant manner? Let's say even if they don't get whacked, how miserable is their exit out of this planet?
Well, it's the energy you put into the world you receive. It's karma, you know. If you obtain your treasures through murder,
you never see a headline that says, "Famed mobster dies peacefully in home with family at night." You know, no one ever says that, right?
Only the rats. Only like Sammy the Bull. Only the rats, you know.
You know, but it's usually with like some, even if they don't get whacked, it's always with some terminal, miserable illness. And they're always depicted with like, you know, they're frail and their lives suck, you know. They're forced to suffer in their older age. right?
Yeah, you definitely get what you put into this world, bro. I mean, if you put negativity in,
every time I watch a movie and I'm like, oh, that's terrible, you know.
Everybody thinks they want all that those things until they have it. You know, like everybody thinks they want these things until they have it. They want the mansion. And then they realize, I mean, a lot of those rock stars from the 80s, man, they got mansions. They didn't even know how to furnish them. You know, they had like one room that had stuff in it. And the rest of them are just empty because they don't even have things to put in there. You know, it's just like, and I've seen a lot of rappers like that too. Like I go to like rappers' houses and they have like a bookshelf with no books and like a dining room with no table. And just like, you know, it's just like they don't even know what to do with the house they have. You know what I mean? It's like they want the mansion, but they got nothing to put in it. You know, it's like
you could have done with two rooms. You didn't need 22. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, you grew up poor. I grew up poor. I grew up in a trailer. So I mean, you in your 20s, you're just like, man, I want all these things, you know. And then you, like when I get older, I'm like almost 40 now. I'm like, man, I just want a good soul. You know what I mean, I just want to be able to eat.
I'd like to quote one of the most profound poets of our generation, Christopher Wallace, who said, "More money, more problems." So that's it.
He got shot too, you know. He advocated for the gang culture and he got shot. I mean, that's what happened. I mean, that's an example of your mob thing, man. It's like, I mean, he was probably killed for music rights by P. Diddy, but I'm just saying. But I mean, that's most accurately probably what happened with him. I think him and Tupac were leaving. Were trying to leave their record labels. They outgrew their record labels. But I mean, that's hearsay till proven. But I'm just saying, like, I do think that. You perpetuate that culture. You're going to die from it. It's very dumb. To advocate for violence. This world's only ready for violence, man. It's like those guys are always like, man, I can't wait for this. Like, I can't wait to overthrow the government of the Civil War. I'm like, dude, they're only ready for that. They're just going to murder you. I mean, they don't care about you. Like, they're only ready for violence, man. You have to outthink everybody in a different way, man. Like,
Yep. Just do good things and good things will happen to you. That's it.
That's what I'm trying. I learned that way too late in life, but I do agree. And I think that, like, where I've been the last like 10 years or so has been on that page. And I wish I was like that the whole time, you know. But I mean, this world makes you selfish, man. In the beginning, it makes you selfish if you fall for it, you know. But
it's true because, if you study children who haven't really been corrupted and polluted by the world yet, you know, they're very good. They mean well. They want to help. They do good things. They share, you know.
Yeah.
As you go through the world and you start to progress is when you start to get you get more and more tainted. Right.
No, I agree, man. No, I definitely agree. And I think that's and then at some point it reverses again. You know, it's like I remember like 28, 29. I'm like, man, what was I doing in my 20s? You know, it's like I just like got drunk every weekend. I'm like, what was rewarding about that? You know, it was just like it was so stupid to like see that. And like I just felt like a fool. I felt like I fell for all the tricks, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like,
it's one of the reasons I don't drink anymore. You know, it's not worth it. You know,
yeah, I'm trying not to get intoxicated in any way whatsoever. I basically just work out constantly. That's pretty much all I even do at this point. Like, as far as I just chug water and work out. But yeah, no, this is like, we just try to keep these an hour. I feel like we've covered a lot of things and you're welcome back. I mean, I like your vibe, man. So if you ever have anything to promote or whatever, as far as your company, I would do it again, obviously. But, you want to throw anything out there besides your, like, anything like that? I'll put that up on the screen, smartcups.com.
Yeah, visit our website, smartcups.com, Instagram, smartcups, my Instagram, CEO Dad Life. We've got some really exciting things coming up with some new products. And catch my brother's toy company. If you like wrestling, you like wrestling figures, check out Major Bendy's. You know, they got some really awesome figures coming out. And we're going to get Anthony Rogers his own Major Bendy here soon.
Dude, that'd be amazing. But Chris, thank you very much for taking the time on this Wednesday. I know you're a very busy man. And like you said, you've been up since 4. And I appreciate somebody that's doing all these things and can still make time to come on here. And if you're watching at home, thank you very much for spending your Wednesday night watching this. I do appreciate it. I would definitely look into Chris's company. It interested me enough to reach out to this man and figure it out. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Like without Chris being on here, without people watching the show, without sponsors, this would be completely delusional. It'd be a man in his bus talking to himself. So I think I'd like to thank everyone that's a part of this and have a good night and God bless each and every one of you.
Thanks for having me. And let's keep that I'm a lizard person between me and you. All right. Thanks.
Oh yeah, only my mom watches this show, so your secret's safe, you know.
Between me and you. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Have a good night, brother.
All right, bye.